A couple of things to kind of close things out. So we went through a number of Brahma Viharas, and there's a couple that I mentioned and that have been brought up over the course of the day, which aren't included in the formal list. But certainly one of the heart practices is gratitude. So as a turn and as ending this day, I want to express my gratitude, and I'm sure it's echoing the other teachers' gratitude for all the people that supported this happening. It was the registrars who responded to the applications, and there's May, who shows up again and again to greet people and make sure things are happening okay on the front desk. Nate, good to see you handling this thing. I'll be grateful for you loading my headphones on for forever and a day. And then out there in Zoom land, thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, there was a scramble, one flurry of emails just a day or two ago. Awesome. Okay, Cheryl's on board. I can rest at ease. So thank you all. I appreciate it. And then, of course, all the energy that you all have brought to this gathering, the sharing of your perspectives, the sharing within small groups, and also in Zoom land, the people who shared in the small groups there. So, yeah, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. It certainly supports my practice. And thank you for not throwing tomatoes at me when I forgot my. Okay, so gratitude. I want to mention generosity. I mean, just that giving. There is certainly a lot of giving of oneself, giving of one's attention. And I'm just one more reminder. This tradition is supported by Donna, so please consider that as it you see fit and makes sense for you. What order should I put this in? Coming events, one thing I want to bring up in terms of what's coming to Sims in particular is Panavati, who is a revered teacher from the Thai forest tradition, as well as exposure to the Tibetan lineage. She's well known, well respected, and she'll be showing up here. She'll be coming to Sims on the 21st of June on for a Friday talk, and then over the weekend for a 2-day retreat. So check out that bio of hers. It's impressive. If nothing else, find out about this woman. She's something. And if you can make it here, so much the better. Now we've been practicing here, encouraging our own practice of mindfulness, of practicing of the Brahma Viharas. And it's a tradition in our tradition of sharing merit that there's something that there's a good energy that has been in the air here. And so there's the tradition is sharing of merit. So, in that regard, I'm hoping that may the merit of our practice be shared to all beings everywhere. Can it ripple out into the universe, to the rest of this speck of dust in the cosmos? And may all beings be happy. May all beings live at ease. May we be at peace. So, yeah. Now, there's another one more thing. This might be the last thing. There's a tradition, another tradition, that I usually see practiced when I attend a monastic retreat. It inevitably will. Monastic retreat, but I like bring it into like this, and other people have as well. And that's forgiveness. It's one of the things, it's one, yeah, again, I'd call it a Brahma, yeah, one of the Brahma Viharas. It's not on the official list. But the idea of forgiveness, that, you know, when people come together, there's just kind of, you know, we rub against each other a little bit, and sometimes things don't settle quite as well as we'd like, and we can offend people, whether intentionally or unintentionally. So the forgiveness practice is a way of asking for forgiveness and granting forgiveness. So it's a mutual exchange so that we can kind of leave and separate and go into our own little parts of our world and come back with a fresh slate. So I'm going to get for, so in that regard, if there's anything I said, did, maybe it was intentionally or unintentionally, and I can speak, I think, for the other teachers as well, that in any way was difficult for you. It bothered you or it hurt you in some way. We ask your forgiveness. Yeah, we ask your forgiveness. And likewise, you know, you can know that, you know, you may have had doubts about how you were doing this and that and wondering, I'm doing okay here, and maybe I bothered them when I did that. Rest assured that we forgive you as well, that whatever you did is fine. We're cool. So, yeah, looking forward to our gathering the next time with clear slates. And then I want to finish with one poem, and I'll call it good. And if you heard me before give a talk, you may have heard this, and you may know it regardless. It's called Gate 4A, Wandering Around at Albuquerque Airport Terminal, by Naomi Shihab Nye. Maybe some of you are familiar with her. She's a Palestinian poet, writer, and she has this story. After learning my flight was detained 4 hours, I heard the announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of Gate 4A understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate 4A was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumpled to the floor, wailing loudly. Help, said the flight person. Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be 4 hours late, and she did this. I put my arm around her and spoke to her haltingly. Shu doa, shu bidak biti stani stani shwe, min fadlik shobit siwe. The minute she heard any word she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought our flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for some major medical treatment. The following day, I said, no, no, we're fine. You'll get there. Just late. Who's picking you up? Let's call him and tell him. We called her son, and I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother until we got on a plane and would ride next to her. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons, just for the fun of it. Then we called my dad, and he spoke for a while in Arabic and found out, of course, they had 10 shared friends. Then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets I know, and let them chat with her. This all took up about 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling about her life, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamoul cookies, little powdered sugar crumbly mound stuffed with dates and nuts out of her bag, and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined one. It was like a sacrament. A traveler from Argentina, a traveler from California, the lovely woman from Laredo. We were all covered with the same powdered sugar and smiling. There are no better cookies. And then the airline broke out the free beverages from huge coolers. And two little girls from our flight, one African-American, one Mexican-American, ran around serving us all apple juice and lemonade. And they too were covered with powdered sugar. And I noticed my new best friend. By now we were holding hands. She had a potted plant poking out of her bag, some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country travel tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and wearied ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in, the shared world. Not a single person in this gate, once the crying confusion stop, has seemed apprehensive about any other person. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate our gathering.